pop in here for a couple minutes? I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
I see light mango.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, you know, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but...
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
Long season. I almost thought we had a long ball during this interview, but we...
I want to see some home runs. I'm looking at the pregame stats. I'm seeing this guy from Cincinnati's getting the most home runs. Come on, let's go.
Coach, you got to look at the flags. That's really what's going on here.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only half past 12. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yes, it is. I would say probably like maybe Puerto Rico, it's 5 o'clock right now. Maybe,
oh, that's a good question.
Maybe Caracas, Venezuela, it is 5 o'clock right now.
You can look that up. And while you do, let's welcome in Dave Wonstadt, shall we?
Yeah, Bears training camp coverage on the score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Now, Speegs, imagine. Last week, I see our guy, Dave Wonstadt, and I'm like, man, I get to watch a little bit of practice with Wonnie when I go up there.
Yeah, you're thinking you guys can be on the sidelines together?
Because that's my guy, right? Sure. Like we've watched a lot of football together. That's my guy, and getting a chance to watch training camp with him would be a joy.
But you couldn't.
But I couldn't. Because I was behind the ropes, and this man was in front of him. And I looked out, and I was like, I got to find my guy. I get on binoculars, and I go, there's my guy right in the middle of the drills. Coach, you were locked in on Bears practice last week, right in the middle of it. What did you see?
Well, I got to be honest. It's great being on with you guys. And just for our listeners' sake here, in a couple weeks I'll be on every week, every Thursday at 5. So I'm giving myself a little promo there, just looking ahead.
Please. That's great work out of you. Thank you, Coach. Somebody, we look forward to it.
Somebody's got to do it. But I come on, Alex, get it going. But I tell you, I would say that Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles were fantastic to me. You know, I started texting Ben a little bit back and forth after he got the job. And, you know, I told him I didn't want to come up there and see guys, you know, practice in their underwear. When you're going to put the pads on and you're going to hit somebody, let me know. And he gave me the best day. He says, Coach, this is the day you want to be here. You got back. So we went back and forth. And, yeah, and I actually watched, you know, a lot of the practice with Ryan Poles. We were walking around a little bit and talking about, you know, some situations and players and so forth. So it was really, really great to be there, feel welcome. And just like Lawrence was saying, I watched the linemen at first, and then I worked my way over to the backs, and then and obviously the quarterbacks and the skill guys. So I had a pretty good feel for what was going on, and it was exciting. It was very, very good. I thought it was a good practice and good staff. And you know what's interesting is I was in Ben's office. We were talking before practice, and the first thing he said to me, I was just small talking, and he says, "Hey, Coach, you know what? I got a great coaching staff," and because I commented on some of the guys, obviously that I know. And he just talked about how much he trusted Dennis Allen and the experience that he had. And very similar to staffs that I've been involved with, I don't think we hired anybody that I didn't work with, Tony Wise didn't work with. So they were all connected at places where we coached because we knew not just how good a coach they were, but you want to know what type of people they are and how they're going to react when things are good, how they're going to react when things are bad. And I saw that on the field. So it was a very productive day, great day.
It sounds like a productive day of seeing football and kind of establishing some relationships and reestablishing some. We love that you'll be with us on Thursdays at 5 o'clock. Is that right, Alex? I have that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, you
yes.
might want to let us know, but you know, it's just a thought.
It's okay.
Maybe we just made that decision. You know, right now I don't know. Did
we locked it in, Coach? But
okay.
Tell us about talking to Ryan Poles, because you had a good relationship with Matt Eberflus. And now here's Ryan Poles, having withstood that exodus, and now with a head coach in charge, it sure seems like Ryan Poles is comfortably letting Ben Johnson be the boss, which I think NFL or the head coach needs to be the boss. So tell us about that interaction and what you think of the dynamic.
Yeah, I don't know if that term is correct or not. You know, I don't know who, you know, I think they're working together. I mean, I was complimenting Ryan. The first drill they had live, inside run, I saw the offensive line moving the defensive line, okay? And so I started talking to Ryan a little bit about acquiring those guys, and very interesting, obviously, behind the scenes. Because, we got three quality offensive linemen that all have years yet to play and played at a high level. And I was just saying, hey, well, you did a fabulous job, in my opinion, of getting these guys locked in and getting them done quick. And we talked about that whole situation. And he's the personnel guy. I think it's a situation where Ben's going to tell him what he needs, what he likes. And then Ryan is going to, fill in the spots. I think that's how it has to work. So I think it's a good situation for both of them right now.
Coach, since you got an up close look, what does Trapillo look like? And does he still have work to do to be a professional, or do you see a guy that if they had to, they could play him week one?
Well, I think he could definitely play week one. There would be no question in my mind about that. I think that, what I liked? I was over there with the offensive line, and when they went from one drill to the next, generally you go over there and the younger guys are going to hold the bags and so forth. And you got to tell these guys three times what to do it so you can run an effective drill. Okay. And when they ran over there, this guy grabbed the bag. He was lined up where he was supposed to be, and he had his mouthpiece in and his chin strap buckled, and he was ready to go to work. And that tells me that you got a player that first time hasn't been in an NFL camp, first time he hasn't been exposed to this, and he's in. I mean, he's not looking around and the crowd and the music. No, this guy's here to work. And I think the background he has up there with Bill O'Brien, it's a pro background, obviously. Bill O'Brien, long, long time head coach in the NFL and Patriots. So I think he's had good exposure to the NFL and the way things are done. And I saw that right away. And, yes, in the drills, he's a good athlete. He needs work. He's going to get better. But I think it's not going to be too big for him. I'll say that.
Coach, is this a game week? There's a game on Sunday.
But really, there's a game on Friday.
Well, yeah, so because there's a joint practice on Friday. Like, what is this week, from your perspective? How is it supposed to feel for the players and the coaches? How would it feel to you?
Well, they did kind of a dry rehearsal last week when they went to Soldier Field. I didn't realize they stayed down there. I was listening to some of the player comments afterwards. And meetings and so forth, like it's going to be on a road game. This is going to be different, obviously, because it's going to be on TV and it's going to be filmed and it's against another team. So all this stuff will happen. It's just a shame that they couldn't get like a Tuesday. I always like to get at least two practices with the other team, at least two. Because it's going to be different looks, it's going to be different coverages, different people, and you'd like to have them put them out there and see how they react to something new and get a chance to coach it off of tape a little bit. So it'll be good that they're doing one day, but one day, 2 days before the game, I don't know. What I expect is the veterans not to play in the preseason game much. If at all, but I do expect them to get the majority of the work against the Dolphins.
Coach, what do you think of what Ben Johnson, he's admitted to that the defense, like he's liked the fact that Dennis Allen has thrown some stuff at Caleb and at the offense to make them uncomfortable. How do you feel about that as a something that, that helps the quarterback learn and adjust?
Yeah, it's good. It's all good. We've talked about this in the past. I mean, the defense is always going to be a little bit ahead of the offense because they got less to learn. And we got a veteran, you know, we got three new offensive linemen, argued maybe four, you know. We got a lot of new bodies on offense compared to the defense. And so for a couple of reasons, you expect them to be ahead. And Dennis Allen has surrounded himself with guys that he has worked with before. So I don't, and so has Ben on offense. But you don't see the coaches having to coach the coaches. And by that, I mean, when they went to the receiver drill, Randall L., he knows what's coming because he was what they were together at Detroit, you know. So he, and you don't see Ben having to overcoach some of his assistants to make sure that, that it's all, it's the same message that he wants. So you save a lot of time as a staff that way. I mean, opposite of Matt Eberflus coming in and having an offensive coordinator that he never worked with, and he's seeing it kind of for the first time. I mean, that's I've never been in that situation before. I mean, that makes it very difficult from a head coach's perspective, in my opinion. Where Ben, you know, like I was talking to Dennis a long time, and watching what they do, it's going to be more pressure. I think if you compare the two defenses, you know, Dennis is more man coverage, and Dennis is a little bit more pressure than what it was in the past with Matt Eberflus.
So tell us about talking with Dennis and like his concepts and what you think of his concepts and the way he does it in the modern game, Coach.
Yeah, well, it's two things. One, you know, he's going to be, like I say, he's going to be a little bit more pressure. His pressures are going to come a little bit more with the safeties. Eberflus, you know, when he brought pressure, he liked Tyler Gordon coming off the slot. Dennis Allen will bring some corner pressures, you know, a little bit more. So it's, you know, it's a lot of carryover that way. But I think that he's threatening with the blitz almost every play. When I was watching those guys go team period, you know, it's linebackers up in the line of scrimmage, safeties walking up, then bailing out, linebackers bailing. So it's a lot of movement stuff before the snap makes the quarterback do some thinking. And the other side of that coin is you better have a good secondary, because if you can't cover and you're playing that man coverage, you're in trouble. So, you know, we feel good about Johnson. We feel good about Gordon. Frisker's having a great camp. You know, I think the position when I was there that was still I don't want to say unsolved, but the one position that was still a battle was the other corner spot. You know, with Tariq Stevenson, and then you had Terrell Smith got an interception the day that I was there. He's having a very good camp. So that's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have, but you have to, with if you're going to pressure more and you're going to play more man, you have to have guys back there that can cover one-on-one. And I think they're pretty confident about our guys back there.
So who are the players that caught your eye? Because a coach's eye is a little bit different than the rest of us. So are there any players that you saw that you were like, oh, I didn't think that player could do blank, or, wow, this player has been super impressive today?
Well, I'll tell you what, Billings is back inside, and he is a, you know, a run stopping fool, and I think they missed him a little bit last year. And I made a comment to one of their coaches there without naming them about him being back, and they said, yeah, and we are excited to have him back. So Billings, you know, from a fan's perspective. And then I'll tell you what, Brisker, I don't know how he does it, but he made two plays when I was there. And you talk about a mystery man, you know, I mean, after four games last year, you know, it was concussion time and never came back. I think people were uncertain if he'd ever play again or what was his situation going to be. And he's back to playing like he did before he got hurt. I mean, he's making plays. And it just so happens the day that I was there, they threw the ball to a Burden a few times, the rookie receiver and out of Missouri. And he made some nice plays. He did break away from people. And so they were trying to highlight him, I think, a little bit more that day. So that, and then as a group, I would say the offensive line as a group caught my attention. I mentioned running it and pass. And let me tell you this, and I said this draft week, because I was up at Rutgers last year, and I talked to this kid, and I was with him with helping Shiano out for a couple of days. Tell you what, Hal Mungai, or how, you know, I think I pronounced his name.
Mungai.
Right there. Mungai. This guy right here is going to play opening week, guys. And here's going to be the question to him, and I was talking to Ryan about this. He's not going to give you the 40 or 50 yard run, but he it's very tough for him to get for my man Kyle to get tackled in the backfield. He can make guys miss in a short area, but he's going to get 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards. So with him at running back, keep an eye on this. You're not going to get the 40 or 50. You're going to be able to move the ball down the field, but you are going to be in a lot of third down and ones, twos, and threes. So that's a decision, and I'll be anxious to see how that unfolds. Are you content to move the ball down the field with that type of mentality? Or if you need the big play and you're always looking for the big play, then the only back that I saw that can do that is Swift. And, you know where I stand with the Andre Swift.
So Kyle Mungai, he's got to make the team first. Seventh rounder.
He's making it. Coach, he's making the team. Book it.
All right, good. Good. I've been worried. I've had somebody in my ear in the room telling me that might be a concern, you know? But yeah,
I'll tell you, if he gets cut, somebody's going to grab him. He's not. I mean, I think he did it, you know, enough that day. And at Rutgers, the guy was in the top three in rushing every year. The guy doesn't fumble. Look at his fumbles when he played college ball.
Not one.
I mean, thank you. This guy is going to give you a chance to move the chains and make plays, and it'll be tough. I mean, him and Roschon Johnson, there's a battle going on, you know, and that's going to be the battle at running back. Swift's going to make the team because of his explosiveness and catching and so forth, but I think the other battle is between those two guys.
It is 670 The Score. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show. How was your time at Wrigley Field the other night? I'm sorry the Cubs didn't get you more offense, but did you have a good time up there?
I'll tell you what, I had a great time. Absolutely. You know, I mean, all the people were – everybody that does something on the marquee station, Tom Waddle was there, Jeff Joniak was there. So it was great. We were up in the suite, and Diane Penny, you know, the general manager, we had the full, it was outstanding, did a little promo work. But you're right. Now, here's the one problem I had. And I said this to, I don't know who, I think it was Wild or somebody. I said, look behind me. I'm sitting outside trying to watch this game, and I was the only one out there for like the first three innings. Everybody's back there eating and talking. And I says, I don't go to many sporting events and sit in the stands, right? Or, you know, it's just never what I did. Is this how it goes on in a football game? And they says, oh, yeah, everybody's watching the TVs and eating and drinking. So I was trying to watch the game, and that's when they were talking about the pitcher gave up more home runs than any pitcher in Major League Baseball this year so far. So I says, this is going to be home run derby. Well, anyway, you know, 3-1 we lose, but – it is what it is.
God bless you for trying to watch the game, though. I don't like the suites,
yeah.
Coach. I don't like it up there because most people aren't watching the game. You're right.
I kept looking over my shoulder, like thinking I was missing something. Why am I sitting out here? You know how far it's come. When I was coaching the Bears, I want you to think about this.
Okay.
When I was coaching the Bears, Mr. McKenna, Andy McKenna, was part owner of the Bears and part owner of the Cubs. He would get us a big suite. His suite, you know, on the first baseline there. And I would, once a year, and I would take my whole coaching staff, and we would sit out on the balcony and smoke cigars. Okay? And obviously he had all the trimmings, and Tony Wise couldn't wait for the dessert tray and the whole bit. but we would sit there and we would be out there having cigars watching the Cubs play.
Oh, hell
think
yeah.
About that, guys.
That sounds good, Coach. Sounds good.
It's a beautiful thing.
It was the best.
Coach,
we
appreciate you. Thank you so much, and we're happy that you're going to be with us every Thursday.
At 5 o'clock, make sure someone write that down for Alex so he has it, okay?
Tanner, you write that down for Alex.
Write that down for Alex so he knows. Coach Wanstead, Thursdays, 5 o'clock.